Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio is my co-host, Todd Schnick. What's happening, Todd?
Not much, Stone. How are you this morning?
I am doing good. I'm getting jazzed about this week and the weeks coming up with our Video Dust Jacket World Tour.
I'm anxious to hear about it. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about it?
You guys think he's just setting me up, but he doesn't know as much about it as you might think. No, we got a lot of neat stuff going. We're hitting all the major metro areas, and we're going to interview business authors and just have them share from their perspective. What compelled them to write the book? You know, what do they think is really important about the work that they're doing? And, you know, we got the idea from doing some of the consulting work that we've been doing with authors lately. Looks like Florida and Ohio are going to be our first couple of trips. But we're also going to be doing, what is it, three? I think we've already got booked this week. Author's Perspective interviews right here in Atlanta. So if you don't already know about it and you're in Atlanta and you've written a decent book or at least think you did and want to be on an Author's Perspective interview with us, give us a holler. Give us a call, toll-free, 866-42-SPEED. That's 866-427-7333. Or drop us an email at stone@highvelocityblog.com, and we'll try to get you worked in before we hit the road.
Or if you're planning on writing a book, there's only about a billion of those people out there.
So. Yeah, no kidding. And really, you know, the options for them to get the kind of exposure that they really need and deserve are a little bit limited, so we thought we'd step in and fill that void in the marketplace.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. When are we hitting the road?
I think as early as next week. It just depends. I really wanted to get it done before the family reunion. The Payton family reunion is Saturday in Bonifay, Florida. Everybody, every male in the family has that same chin. You know, so you got like 200 guys walking around with this chin.
I'm not going then.
And you got black-eyed peas and fried chicken and collard greens and cornbread.
Okay, I'm going then.
There you go. Well, we've got a marvelous show for you this morning. We have a studio just packed full. First up, we're going to visit with a gentleman by the name of Warren Neuberger. Then after that, we're going to talk with Dr. Austin Cohen. And then we're going to wrap things up with Bob Toby. But first up this morning on the High Velocity Radio Show is Warren Neuberger. He's CEO with an organization called 40billion.com. Welcome to the show, Warren.
Glad to be here.
So what is 40billion.com? Tell us about this. What are you out there doing for folks?
Well, 40 Billion is a social funding network for small business and startups. And let me just explain how we came up with the name 40 Billion, because you're probably saying to yourself, 40 Billion is kind of a big number. What is that? Well, when we looked around, we looked at the number of businesses that we're actually trying to launch in the United States. And it turns out it's about a million a year. And each one of those businesses is looking for startup funds. And then when we looked at the amount of money that actually the VCs and angels are actually putting into the market each year, what we discovered is there's really a $40 billion gap in the amount of money that people are looking for and the amount of money that's available. So what we did is we put together a website and a company that is focused on providing a mechanism using friends and family and social networking as the way to get those funds, those startup funds for the business, that seed money that helps you get launched. So one of the things that's different about us is we're 100% focused on business funding. So if you want to buy a boat, we're not the place to come. And we also have developed some patent-pending technology that we believe will end up giving lenders more confidence in lending through our site than any of the other sites that are out there. And then besides just the funding aspect, what we realized is there's really more to launching a business than just money. And the rest of that is how do you get the resources? How do you get the the accountants and the office furniture and all that? And so we put together on the website those resources that you need to be successful. And we've also put some things on there, some of the basics. We have some 99-cent startup guides that if somebody really wants to know what is a business plan or how do I go about getting funding for my business or What kind of accounting do I need to set up for my business? You can get all that information on there as well.
Well, I mean, $40 billion, that really is a huge gap. Yeah. I mean, is VC capital just dried up? Why such a big gap?
Well, the VC funding is out there, as well as the angel, but it's just really difficult to get. And I think if you go back even to some of your past shows where you've had some VCs on here, what you think of is you think, well, these guys are out with a ton of money just spreading it around. And really, the truth is, if you really look at what those VCs are doing, typically a good year for them is one deal.
Really?
So when you look at that and you think, well, a VC that's doing one deal, maybe he gets euphoric and he does two deals that year. But think, you know, you're looking at almost a million, you know, businesses in the United States trying to launch. So there clearly isn't enough money out there from the VC channel.
So walk us through it a little bit. So Todd and I, we had this business of ours. We feel like we need a little bit more capital to do some of the things we really want to do. We want to, you know, a really jim-jammy website for videodustjacket.com for, you know, to support this tour that we're doing. We know we need to do things right. Walk us through it. What would we do?
Well, first of all, you'd come to the website and you'd register, and registration is free. And once you get registered, what you'll find is that there's a lot of how-tos on there that help you to really figure out how do I set up my business? How do I write a business plan? How do I do an investor presentation? And once you get to the website and you go through those pieces of collateral, we educate you on how you are going to start to talk to investors. How do I ask them for money? And it sounds trivial, but really, you really need to know that it's not quite as easy as asking your Uncle Bill for a $1,000 check or $2,000 check. He wants to know that you're really, you know, serious and that you're really going to put the time in and effort. And that's why we really focused on friends and family. When you think about banks have put together this artificial mechanism of credit scores. And they've done that because they're really trying to marry strangers with other strangers and try and get some sense of whether it's a good thing to lend this guy some money. What we focused on is friends and family. These are people that know you, people that know your work ethic. They know if you if you're really good for it, if you're really dedicated for this business, or whether this is just a chance for you to buy some new tires for your, you know, the family car. And that's where this really comes down to. And interestingly, if you look around the world, if you look for the last few centuries, various cultures around the world have really used social funding as the primary mechanism to provide startup funds for businesses. And it's only been the United States that has really gotten into the credit scores, and that's then become the new thing of banking. And our view is really that banking is old school. You know, it's the old school way of trying to get money. Social networking is really where it's at.
But to do it right, there really is more to it than just asking Uncle Bill for the money. Say more about some of the disciplines that we need to exercise, even if we are going to Uncle Bill.
Well, you need to understand, you know, how do you, you know, what kind of collaterals do you put together? And it isn't so much even just asking for that first money, but it's putting together your business plan, putting together that investor presentation. And one of the things we do that's different on our website is we're focused 100% on privacy. So when you put that together, it's not public information that anybody can go in and see your business plan and see what your investor presentation is. You have LinkedIn through LinkedIn or Plaxo or Facebook or any of the other social network sites, your social network. And you've given them the access specifically to get to your information. And that gives you a mechanism to provide timely updates as well. So it's not just getting this thing launched and then saying, well, goodbye to Uncle Bill. You know, I don't want to see you again. Thanks for that check. This is keeping him informed, keeping him up to speed on what's happening. And we provide the mechanisms for you to be able to do that on an ongoing basis. And we think that's really, it's really important, you know, not just to get that initial check, but to also share with him your progress.
Do you require, even though you're going after friends and family, do you require them to submit a business plan and a marketing plan?
Well, we think that you have to, because we think you really need to understand where you're going and, you know, and prove to your investors that you're really serious about the business. I mean, if you start up a business and you really don't have a business plan, you really don't know where you're going, you really don't have an idea of what your roadmap is and what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, and how do you get an investor to really say, well, yeah, I'd love to give you some money even though you don't have a clue where you're going?
Well, I asked the question in the hopes that you do that, because I think most of lot of my clients that I've, when I start working with them, they haven't thought those kinds of things through, and that's, which is why they need help.
And that's what's important. I mean, you've got to get that business plan, get that investor presentation put together, and this provides that private channel for you to get between you, the founder, and those investors, and do it on a periodic basis, do it in a secure way.
We talk a lot in the High Velocity family about building community and building this network of people that know you and trust you and are your fans. If I'm understanding this correctly, what you're doing is you're building an apparatus by which after someone has taken the time to build that community, you have a program that you can then tap into them for these resources, and you kind of instruct people how to do that.
Absolutely. So once you've got that friends and family network, and you've got it over a period of years, you know, it's the guy you used to work with 10 years ago who remembers you and remembers how dedicated you were, and you showed up for work every day, and you didn't goof off. You know, you were really dedicated, and you were passionate about what you're doing. And those are the guys that know you the best. And that's why you don't need credit scores, because these people know you and they know whether you're good for it. And frankly, you know, if you haven't, done a good job of educating your friends and family over a long period of time, they're probably not going to invest in you if they don't think you're serious and they don't think that you know what you're doing and where you're going.
So what kind of money has changed hands? How much capital has been raised so far?
Well, so far, we haven't published anything. What we did is we originally started our website about a year ago. So it was, I think the company launched in January 2008. The first website launched in June of 2008. We were in beta for a year. June 2009, we actually launched formally after that one-year beta, really trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. And I'll say that what we've discovered is of all the people that are coming to the website, they're typically looking for about $10,000. Is the average amount of money that they're looking for. And we have had some people that have raised over $50,000, single companies. But let me give you an example of one company. It's a company out in California actually called Artist Magnet. And this company was really started by a retail guy. He was working in retail 9 to 5, decided that what he wanted to do was really had a passion for the performing arts and really wanted to try and link people in the performing arts together. And help to highlight jobs and openings and really that kind of sharing. He came to the website, raised money to initially launch his company. The company launched, and it's been in existence now for almost a year. He was one of our earliest customers. And now he's just come back for a second round of funding. So he's back again, and there's nothing to prevent that. You're going to look for waves of funding. You may not realize how much you need initially, but once you get started and once you get going, then you may want to do some other things, and that requires more capital, and you come back to the website and raise it all again. So,
do you have competition? And if so, how are you different than those?
There's competition only in the sense of person-to-person funding. And person-to-person funding is very broad. If you look at that in its broadest sense, there's websites out there today where people are out trying to consolidate their credit card debt, or they're trying to buy a boat, or I'm trying to get a different mortgage than what I can get from a bank. And we don't do any of that. We're 100% focused on business. We're 100% focused on friends and family. And we're the only platform that's out there that provides a private way for you to do that fundraising.
How about you guys? Are you looking for investors? How are you funded? Or you're just up and running and you're rocking?
We're up and running, and we've been running, but we're also looking for VCs and angel investors for that next round of funding. In the $40 billion website, we have an artificial limit of $99,000. As the amount that you can raise.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to go beyond that for the kinds of things that we want to do. We've got some ideas in terms of expanding more nationally, adding some new features into the website that we don't have today. And we're also looking at the possibility of acquisitions of some other things out there that would really add to our portfolio and again, put us in that leadership position 100% for startup businesses.
How do you market yourself?
Well, so far we've done...
Apart from being on Amazing
I mean, he's hit the big time. What else do you want from him? He's on the High Velocity Radio Show.
I mean, I don't think we need anything more.
Yeah, you're
this.
Done,
I
baby.
Mean, I think we're done.
Never mind. Strike the question.
Now, what we've done is we've actually been hitting the road and trying to do as many interviews on magazines. So we've been in Fortune Magazine. We've been in a number of other websites and blogs and those kind of things. We've actually, over in the last year, only issued 2 press releases. And out of those 2 press releases, we've got a significant amount of coverage. I think even the Fortune article that we had, we saw something like a 50% spike in our web
nice.
Traffic just that month that we did that one. So We're obviously getting out and doing as much media as we can, but again, after High Velocity, I don't. Everything else is going to be.
Are you active in social media? Are you out there on Facebook and Twitter and those kinds of things?
We're in all those things. LinkedIn. You can find out more information about the company. You can find out more information about the people that that work there as well.
So. Well, rules is not really my thing, but I got to ask. There must be some. What's the outfit? SEC regulations around all this stuff. Tell us, how do you navigate all that, and are there some challenges with that piece of it?
Well, the regulatory is actually one of the things that always comes up from the VCs. It's one of those things that everybody asks for first. And the reason they do, going back to what Todd just said, is if you look at the competition that's doing consumer lending and really person-to-person lending that's very impersonal, nobody knows each other, those websites have actually been shut down by the SEC several times from state basis as well as federally. And it's been because they're in the consumer credit mode. Some of them are actually trying to provide loans themselves and then package up those loans and sell them on a secondary market. And we don't do any of that stuff. We're 100% focused on small business and 100% focused on friends and family. And that provides some SEC exemptions for us for small business that we've used to kind of stay under the SEC radar and not incur all the issues that the other P2P general sites out there are hitting.
Sounds smart. And it sounds like something that people need and want. So and we're excited for you, man. That's great. I think we ought to go get us some money, Todd. What do you think?
I'm in.
Yeah, we're going to sit down and write down that whole roadmap.
I'm looking forward to going after all your friends and family for our funds.
See, we really do need to head to Bonifay and hit the family reunion.
Yeah, we do need to go to that, yeah.
I understand, Warren, that you have some breaking news to share, and we get the scoop on it. Tell us, what's your breaking news?
Yeah, it's one of the things we wanted to do here today on the show is actually provide some breaking news and give you the scoop over any of the other media that we've been out to. And the one thing that we're about to launch is a 40K business plan competition, and it's pretty easy to get into. What we're looking for is people to come to the website, register for free, and actually try and do a raise for their business. Raise some funds for the business. And if you go through those steps, what you'll see is that we're running a 40K business plan competition. We're going to provide $40,000 in startup funds for business, the best business plans that we can find. So we're putting together sponsors for that activity, a judging panel, and we're going to pick the top three and provide some money to them to actually help get their business started. So in that case, through this business plan competition, we think it's pretty exciting, and we think it's really going to generate a lot of interest out there.
Oh, I bet it will. And I'm sure we'd make great judges, wouldn't we, Todd?
Absolutely.
Listen, before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, learn more about this contest, and learn more about 40billion.com? What's the best way to contact you guys?
Well, the interesting thing is you can go to the website. The website is pretty self-explanatory. Again, you can register for free. You can do a raise for free. All these things are out there, these resources that you can get to. But you can go to info@40billion.com email to actually email us if you have any questions or concerns, or you just want to know what the rules are for that $40,000 business plan competition. So it's all out there.
Well, we're not going to let you off the hook yet. We are just about out of time. But before we really let you go, Warren, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We'd like to ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career and really, more importantly, what they've learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Sure. I think, you know, when I started out early in my career, I actually had my best work experience ever working for a very large Fortune 100 company. And what I really learned from that was how great it was when you're really passionate about what you're doing and you have a great team of energetic people around you. And what I discovered after when I left that company and went to the next company, I kind of expected every company was going to be like that. And I discovered they weren't. And that was the big eye-opener. And so my lesson is when you get to a company where you're not passionate about what's going on there or not really fitting into that team, know when to cut bait and move on to that next opportunity. And you really need to apply passion to everything you do. That's the difference between success and failure. And if you get into a situation where you're not passionate about it, get out of it and look for the next one.
I mean, that is such solid wisdom. I know sometimes it's tough for people to do, but if you're not passionate, get out of there. Great advice. Thanks so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute delight visiting with you this morning, Warren.
Well, thanks for having me on.
You are more than welcome. Listen, can you hang out with us while we have Todd introduce our next guest and visit with him a little bit?
Absolutely.
Terrific.
Great. Well, our next guest on High Velocity is Dr. Austin Cohen. He's one of those hardworking, inspiring serial entrepreneurs that we all need to draw inspiration from. He's one of those people out there strongly advocating for a stronger community of health. And I understand that later this next month, you're starting launching a new chiropractic center in Buckhead. So we're anxious to hear about that. Welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me, Todd.
And we're going to call you Austin, by the way. We don't call anybody by titles around here. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I'm a chiropractor and health coach in the city of Atlanta. I'm opening a chiropractic center, though, in Buckhead this October, which we were just talking about. Coming October 19th is our projected date for opening. And we've really been working hard. We've hitting the marketing program really strongly and working on just getting out in the community, getting involved, and really inspiring people to become more proactive with their health and make healthier choices. We have a lot of events that we have coming up. We do a walk running club, which we do every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., where we go walking through the streets of Buckhead. And before we start that, we actually start with an inspirational story from some people about different ways they change their health, whether it's through nutrition or exercise. We're also doing food tours through Whole Foods, where we're actually educating people on how to shop and eat healthy. And we're also doing events at Borders, this bookstore. And we're going to be doing a three-month series. We're going to be starting in November, doing November, December, and January, where the November one's going to be about weight loss. The December one is going to be about making New Year's resolutions. And then our January one is going to be about how to keep those resolutions and keeping people accountable for that.
Well, that sounds like some cool stuff.
Yeah.
It seems to me that the community as a whole is much more aware and conscious of the need for better health and to eat better and exercise better. But I still don't know that the community as a whole is making the necessary improvements. What else can we be doing to help educate people, inspire people to be more conscious of these things?
As you or myself,
all of us. What can we do to help?
We don't have time for you to consult Todd. Just go to the general population.
No, I'm fat. I'm a lost cause. But how do we help everybody?
Well,
out?
When I tell parents, when I do a talk for parents, there's two words that are the strongest words in the dictionary, and that's role model. I speak to schools all the time about nutrition and exercise, but I could talk to these kids every single day about how to eat healthy, how to make better exercise choices. But if the parents aren't doing it, then the kids aren't going to make any changes, and they're just going to stay in the health rate that we're going at right now with the obesity and all the diseases that are coming about in our children. Those are just going to stay the same and keep growing if the parents don't make the right choices. So we just need to be role models for our kids.
So you think mentoring is that being a good role model is the best way to turn this corner?
I absolutely agree, 100%.
Interesting. Okay, you know, I feel like there's a million chiropractors in this town. Is this market saturated with
No,
with
that's a great question. You're right. You know, Life University has become the fountainhead for chiropractic. And that just being in Marietta, a lot of students, they stick around and they open practices in Atlanta. The thing about Atlanta, though, there's 6 million people that live here. And there's about 2,000 chiropractors currently. So for every chiropractor, they would need to be seeing 30,000 people in order for every single person to be under chiropractic care. And that's literally impossible. So no, I don't think that we're saturated right now. And especially things that we have going on in our practice, we're really just so much more different than any other practice out there. Right now, one of our things is we tell people, you don't want to give a man a fish because you feed him for a day, but you teach a man a fish and you feed him for a lifetime. And that's our whole philosophy in our practice, is just educating people on how to live healthy and be more proactive.
Did you go to Life?
Is that right? I did go to Life. I graduated this past March in 2009. And since then, we've been getting out there and just getting involved in the community because we saw that there was a need for chiropractic and living the chiropractic lifestyle.
You talk about the value and importance of mentors and role models. Do you have any mentors that you want to talk about?
Yeah, actually I do currently right now. My dad has been a huge mentor for me these past few months. My father, back in May, he came out and told our family how he was an alcoholic, and none of us really knew this. And he checked himself into rehab. He was in rehab for about a week in the hospital setting. And then following that, he really became a new person. He's been following the 12 steps, and he's been really making a big difference in his life and been inspiring to not only the family and friends, but also the other people out there who are hiding their alcoholism and they're hiding their drug addicts. So he's been really inspiring me and really making a big difference in my life the past few months.
Well, that's great. Thanks for sharing that story.
With the economy going to hell in a handbasket, Austin, I mean, I appreciate that you found ways to differentiate yourself, but still, I mean, who in their right mind opens up a business right now? What prompted you to say, okay, now's the time, I'm going to pull the trigger?
Absolutely.
Were you just ready to get out of the house or what?
No, and the thing about what we have going on is when I wanted to open up this business, people really can't afford not to have chiropractic care. And if the kids are homesick, the parents going to stay home, they're missing out on work. If the parent gets hurt or they're sick from work, then they're going to be at home and they're missing out on a lot of money that they could have earned. But also more importantly is people aren't going to be doing the 40, working for 40 years, and then that's it. They retire and then they live healthy, then they live wealthy. Now it's people are going to be, you know, they need to stay strong and they need to have peak performance through the rest of their years, 50, 60 years. They need to be working strong and they need to be at the top of their game. And that's what chiropractic is all about. It's pretty much taking people's lives and restoring their health so that they can function more optimally and be out there at the top of their game.
Stone and I bill ourselves as the most candid consultants on the earth. And so I'm going to be very candid with you. When I was a kid 1,000 years ago, I played sports with reckless abandon. I have a bad back, but it took me a long time to get over the stigma of chiropractic, and now I'm kicking myself that I didn't do this 20 years ago, because it has actually changed my life. How do you combat that? I don't know any other way to ask the question other than say there are people out there that are just anxious about that and say that doesn't seem real, like real medicine. But I know now for a fact that it's not, that it really can't make a difference. How do you combat that problem? Yeah,
people right now, they have the perception that chiropractic is all about back pain. And we've been fighting that for the past 40, 50 years. But chiropractic, what we're telling people is, and the truth is, when you look at the spine, it should be perfect. It should be straight. Everyone knows that. But what people don't understand, what we're educating people on, is that on the side view, there's three curves. And people don't get that. And through sitting at a computer and being on the telephone and poor sleeping habits, their head and their posture starts to change and moves and puts pressure on those nerves, which I'm sure maybe you've seen.
And well, I was on my computer looking at your video talking about not listening, not looking at your computer. So yeah.
So we're starting to educate people on it's about whole body health and it's about living this holistic lifestyle as opposed to just more of a reductionist mechanistic lifestyle, because that's back pain is so little of what we do as chiropractors.
Well, it was fascinating to me because the way my chiropractor explained it to me was that if your nervous system controls basically your general health, and if the spine isn't aligned right and your whole skeletal system isn't aligned, then it's not allowing your nervous system to function the way it should. And if it's functioning the way it should, then it just improves general health. And it was just a fascinating realization for me. It changed my whole thinking on that.
Absolutely. And you know, the nervous system is the first system in our body that forms. People don't understand that. It's the spine is the first thing that forms in our body, and from that all the nerves branch off and form the different organs in our body. And the spine is, if you think about it, those are the only two organs that are encased in bone, is the spine and the brain. And the reason why is because they're so important and they need so much protection. Now, the philosophy that chiropractic is built off of, is that correct? Yes, my nervous system is the master control system of the body, and also that the body is a self-healing and self-regulating system. If you get a cut on your body and you put a Band-Aid over it, you know, the Band-Aid doesn't heal the cut. The body is what heals, and the body always heals itself. So yeah, those are the foundation that chiropractic is built off of.
Well, let's get real tactical here for a moment. We've got the flu season coming up, and I know when we went on our cruise, they wouldn't even let us go to Cozumel because of the swine flu. What are some specific things that people can do right now to avoid getting the flu above and beyond getting the flu shot, and what's your take on the flu shot thing?
Well, the thing about the flu shot, I may have to keep some opinions to myself on this one. I don't want to get tons of emails from people.
My chiropractor says not to get them.
Okay. And, you know, I'm personally not going to get
the flu shot. Your old chiropractor.
But, you know, luckily this Wednesday, actually at 4:45, we're going to be talking about the H1N1 virus and how chiropractic can benefit that. But with the immune system coming up, there's three things. There's a program out there, and a colleague of mine developed it, and we implemented it in our office. It's called Eat Well, Move Well, Think Well. And it's all about eating foods that you're genetically programmed to eat, eating foods by God, as opposed to foods by man that man created. And that's really important. And the way we implement that in our practice is by doing these food tours at Whole Foods and educating people on how to balance their pH levels to become more alkalizing instead of an acidic environment, lowering their blood sugar, lowering their blood pressure, lowering their cholesterol naturally with natural whole foods, moving well. You know, and for a windmill to move, it needs, you know, for it to build energy, it needs movement. And movement is life. And the way we educate people on that is through the Peachtree Run Walk Club, which meets every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. at the Brookwood Square Shopping Center. And we do walk about for an hour. And like I said earlier, you know, in the beginning, we talk about an inspirational story, and we also talk about different ways that people can improve their health. It's only for about 5 minutes, the inspirational stories. And then also thinking well, not just thinking positive, but also being able to think healthy. Because people, if someone, you know, passes away and unfortunately we have unfortunate incidences in our life, it's really impossible just to want to think positive the entire time. But really being able to deal with that situation and create a better outcome for that.
And you really are out there telling folks about this. Later in the week, you're on CBS?
Yeah, we're going to be on CBS on Wednesday at 4:45, talking about H1N1, everything that's going on. People really are, they need to do their research on this if they're really thinking about the flu vaccine. And if they're thinking not just about the seasonal flu, but also the H1N1, please do your research. That's the number one thing I could tell people to do with, you know, what's right now it's a level 6 pandemic virus, the H1N1. And what people need to understand for level 6 pandemic, they think, oh my God, they think it's really deadly. But what that means is that it's easily infected. So if, say, I had a bump on my shoulder and that was a level 6 pandemic, that just means that all of us could easily be infected by it. But it doesn't mean it's a deadly disease. It just means it's easily contagious.
I appreciate you saying to do research. I think a lot of people understand that, but I think they're afraid. They don't know where to go and where to start. What's the best way they can begin to do some research? Where should they go?
The website. I mean, just go online. They can just, there's WebMD. There's the CDC. Look at the facts. YouTube actually right now is a great outlet for research. Just go to that and just go to YouTube.com and just type in H1N1 vaccine, H1N1 research. You know, right now what people understand is the CDC right now says that 46 children have died from the H1N1 flu. And two-thirds of the 46 children had neurodevelopmental problems, such as, you know, cerebral palsy. They had different things going on with them. So the children who passed away already had stuff going on, already pre-existing conditions. Now, it is unfortunate that children are dying from this. That's horrible to have. But it's not as many as I think most people would expect.
So if we're just hanging out and we're thinking, do I need to go to a chiropractor or don't I? How do you decide if it makes sense to go in and have that first visit or contact somebody like you?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because the one thing I need to shatter is that don't wait until you have back pain. That's the number one thing. You know, you wouldn't wait to go see your dentist until your teeth were hurting. Otherwise, if you showed up, there would already be rot, there'd be decay going on. So show up, you know, early in advance so you can get pre-screened. And we just tell people, just get checked. That's it. They don't have to get adjusted. They don't need care, but just get checked. And there's two screening tests that they can do at their house to see if they even are candidates for chiropractic care. One is you could turn your head to the right and turn your head to the left and see if they move equally to both sides. Like we said, movement is life. And the more your body moves, the stronger your nervous system is going to be. So turn your head to the right and left.
Stone just turned his head, and I heard all kinds of creaking, cracks, and pops.
But also, real quick, you could do your posture checks. Have someone check your posture. Posture is the window to your spine, and how your posture looks. That's how your spine's going to look. You want to make sure that it's straight on the front view, and your shoulders are even. So check someone's shoulders. Check their head. See if it tilts to one side more than the other.
I'm actually 6'1". You didn't know that when I stood up straight. Hey, I understand you're the new president, or going to be the incoming president of Young Bucks. Tell us about that.
Yeah, starting this next year, I'm going to be the new president of Young Bucks. The Buckhead Business Association, which is really the premier professional association in Buckhead, has a younger branch of it called the Young Bucks. And yeah, I'm going to be taking over that as president next year. We do a lot of great events. If you're 35 and younger, this is a must for you to come to. Not only if you live in Buckhead, but also if you live in the surrounding areas. We do a lot of business with people outside of Buckhead. We do one social a month, and we also are starting to implement speaker series. Last month, we had the fortune and the privilege of having Ephraim Taylor. He's the youngest African-American CEO of a publicly traded company come out and talk to us about success and about wealth and how to build, you know, a big business. This guy was a millionaire at 16 years old. So it was nice to learn, be able to learn from him. So it's a great program, and people can just go to buckheadbusiness.org for more information about that.
Shifting to our entrepreneur hats, what is some advice you would give other young entrepreneurs who are getting started?
People underestimate the value of hard work. And, you know, this doesn't come easy to me. People, when they see me and they hear about the radio station that we had this morning, they hear about the TV this Wednesday, they say, oh, well, Austin's so lucky that he got this. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson said it best. He said, his quote really just, he said, it seems like the harder I work, the luckier I become. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about hard work and just getting out there. I've really been out in the streets every single day. I've met every single business from the corner of Piedmont and Peachtree all the way down to where I'm opening my practice, which is on the corner of right near Collier and Peachtree. So I've met every single business, and I've asked them two questions. And I say, do you think this is a health conscious community? And is there a doctor in the brag about you'd really think that's really health conscious? He's not just focused on prescribing you the newest drug, but he really wants to educate you on living a healthy lifestyle. And not one person has said yes, that there is someone out there, and I'm looking to become that person. So just dedication, hard work. And also one of the other things is relationship marketing. I think people are starting to get behind a lot of the social networking that's out there, which is great, but also just building relationships with people and not having the WIIFM attitude, which is the what's in it for me attitude. How can you help other people? Whenever I meet with people, I always ask them at the end of our conversations, I say, how can I help you? And I got that from Keith Ferrazzi's book, Never Eat Alone.
Stone and I heard Chris Brogan speak on Friday, and he said, it's not about what's in it for me, it's about what's in it for you. And if you go into it with that service mentality, it's going to yield a lot of benefit. We're about out of time, but two more things. Tell us how people can find you, and tell them more about how this Saturday morning thing you do. I think that's got some cool potential to help a lot of people. How do you find more information about that?
Yeah, well, what they can do is they can go to our website at Cohen Chiropractic Center, but center spelled CENTRE.com. They can go there, click on upcoming events, and we're literally doing over 20 events this October, all related to health. Whether it's about exercise, nutrition, thinking positive, it's all on there. And that's going to be on Saturdays mornings at 7 a.m. at Brookwood Square Shopping Center. From 7 to 7.05, we're going to talk about cutting-edge health tips. And then from 7 to 5 to about 8.05, we just go for a walk. Some people walk, run. Some people run. It doesn't matter the shape you're in. Anyone can be there as long as you're committed and want to be proactive about your health.
That's great. I went on your website this weekend, and you do have some great educational videos on there. So everybody needs to check that out. You saw what we did to Warren, and not off the hook yet. Tell us about a mistake that you've made in your long career as a serial entrepreneur, and more importantly, what you learned from it.
Absolutely. When I first got into chiropractic school, the reason I got in for it wasn't the right reasons. And you know, I got into it because, yeah, I saw it had potential to make a lot of money, and I also saw that was a fast-growing profession. That was the main reason I got into it, and to me, it was very selfish, and it really was about myself. It wasn't about serving the community and making a difference in the community. And it wasn't until within my first year of being in school that I saw the potential that chiropractic had to change people's lives. So by seeing that, that's really when my mindset shifted, and I created a purpose that was bigger than myself. I started developing organizations on campus that one became the strongest leadership organization on campus, and really just having a purpose out there and having a passion and being mission-driven. That's really what's been all about, and now I'm on this path to really change the world. That's our goal right now. So,
well, that's an ambitious goal. We look forward to being on your team and helping you do that.
Absolutely.
Serving first is good marketing.
Definitely. Thank you.
So, Stone, what's up with our next guest?
Well, next up on the High Velocity Radio Show is a gentleman by the name of Bob Toby. He's the Grand Poobah, chief guy at an outfit called Sales Improvement Zone. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Thank you, Stone, and thank you, Todd. It's been a long time since I've been on live radio, so this is kind of exciting.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. Well, first, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about Sales Improvement Zone. What are you out there doing for folks?
Well, Sales Improvement Zone is an all-video training site. We're a subscription-based site, so for $12.95, a salesperson or entrepreneur can get all the sales training that they would need to help them become successful.
Well, you're a little long in the tooth compared to our last guest, and I know this isn't your first rodeo. How did you get to this point? Why now? You know, what did you do leading up to this?
Well, the idea actually spawned in 2000. We had an idea at the time. I co-owned Success Trainers. We had the idea of having reinforcement tips or email sales tips, and at the time, you couldn't do good video over the internet. It just wasn't set up that way. So all of a sudden, time now is come up where you can absolutely do it. You can do it quick. You can do it customized. You can do it for the general audience. So it's just the internet's really come into its own as far as the Sales Improvement Zone goes.
So, I mean, we have the bandwidth, and this internet thing, I think it's really going to catch on, don't you?
Absolutely. I think with companies, especially with companies not wanting to travel anymore, not wanting to get their salespeople together, not wanting to spend the money, you still have to train them. They still have to get better at what they do. So how do you do it? You have a webinar. Webinar takes people out of their territory, and it's generally slides at this point with somebody talking over the slides. And people just don't learn that way. They're video learners today. So putting together videos where they can view on their own time and review to get better makes a lot of sense.
So what kind of content do you cover?
We do sales training, and I've got about 20 courses that I'm going to be putting up. Right now, I had an opportunity to launch with a finite amount. We have four courses up right now, soon to be five. within the next couple of days. But I could have delayed to launch it, but there's training there that can actually help people. So we do sales training, we do objections training, closing training, presentation training, negotiation training. We'll have time management training, account management training. The list goes on and on. So if you're out there selling something, we're going to have training that can help you become more successful.
So what's been the most fun part about putting all this together, and what, if anything, has been been frustrating about it?
Well, the frustrating part is all the editing. I have a radio television background. I started selling radio, when I was 15 years old. My father was in the business, and then I grew up in the television business. I was general sales manager for a television station in Tucson, Arizona, ABC affiliate there. So the video stuff sort of comes natural. What has not been real natural is all the editing part. And part of the problems back in yesteryear, back in the day, was you'd have to pay somebody to edit it and cost you, you know, tons and tons of money. So I not only record it right now, I actually edit it as I go. And that's been some fun, and it's been challenging at the same time, because it is a little bit time consuming.
You know, I now that Stone and I are doing a lot of video work in our business, I agree with you. Editing is the most time consuming, and I think the most critical element in terms of putting together a quality video. I now appreciate that. I think the most important Oscar award on an Oscar night is the best editor, because I think that can make or break a movie and a film, mm-hmm. and certainly a training video. Are you going to be the one that's conducting all these series, or are you going to ultimately have a guest faculty?
Oh, actually, I'll be having a guest faculty. I'm not really made for television. I'm more made for radio. But right now, the quickest way to get up and running and to assist people, get better at what they're doing, is for me to do it myself, because I've been training for over 20 years. My shtick is my shtick, and I know it very, very well. I do like the idea of having guest speakers, because there is expertise out there. You had somebody selling to the C-suite not too long ago.
Yeah, wasn't that guy great?
Yeah, it was absolutely excellent. And you know, having people like that have those kind of modalities and expertise can help people. So, I just don't plan it to be static with looking at me. I think the guest thing is very doable.
Out of all the content that you already have uploaded, and you really do have quite a bit of content uploaded, I mean, it's a no-brainer investment from my perspective to go in for $12.95 mm-hmm. a month. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So you can access a lot of it, but if you could have only put one module up, you know, what would you have people see and interact with, you think?
Well, I think the most important foundational training session that anybody can look at and become good at is interaction behaviors, or selling to the four behavior types. This puts somebody, a salesperson who is not real natural, what it does is it brings him up to, or him or her up to, a level where they can compete with somebody who might be considered a natural salesperson. It teaches you how people like to buy, how people like to interact with other people, their hot buttons, what makes them want to buy. And that's the most important thing. If you go in and you're selling every person the same way, you're going to be 25% successful. And that means you're going to be working really, really hard. And you're making, if you're a street guy, you're probably making 25, 30 calls in a day, going door to door to door to door to door. And if you can't pick up someone's behavior pattern or personality type, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle, and salespeople don't need to fight that uphill battle.
Well, as you know, I came off the $12.95 this weekend, so I started diving into the site, and I'll tell you the one that really stood out for me, because of my background in selling consulting services, and often to buying teams, that, you know, it was buying teams, and so we'd go in and we'd make these presentations, but there's a module, I can't remember the title of it, but you really speak specifically to, okay, great, you made a marvelous presentation. You know, how do you wrap that up and not walk out in the parking lot and go home and wait on the phantom phone call? Do you mind speaking a little bit to that?
Not at all. It's presentation skills, and you know, you work really hard to get the right audience. You work really hard to find a customer that'll open up to you and tell you all their problems, and then you have solutions for it. So you get to the point where oftentimes you have to make a presentation. You work real hard to get the ultimate decision maker there, the guy that or the person that can say yes, and you get down to the point where it's time to ask for the order because salespeople are told, you know, you got to ask for the order.
Right.
So you get done with your presentation and say, well, what do you think? And can we get a contract signed? And they'll say, well, we obviously have to have a meeting to talk about this. Thanks for coming in. And they walk out the door and you've spent all this time. Heck, sometimes you bring three or four people with you, subject matter experts, to support your presentation. Maybe you bring your boss. So it ends up costing your company $5,000-$6,000 on the low end in some places where you have to fly halfway across the country. If you drive across town, still talking time and everything, so it might be as little as $250 or whatever. You know, the point is, you work really hard, you ask for the order, and they walk out of the room because they're going to have another meeting. You lose total control of the sales process, the sales cycle, the buying cycle, because, you know, well, when are you gonna have the meeting? Well, we'll get together. Okay, so you start calling frantically, and if you're at presentation stage, what's worse is it's probably about a 90% on your forecast. So
right,
now
right.
All of a sudden everybody's looking, where's the deal? We had this presentation, where's the deal? So you're calling and they won't return your phone calls. Well, because they have your proposal, they've seen your presentation, there's no need to see you now.
They don't need you now.
Yeah, they don't need you. They're gonna have their meeting, they'll discuss it, they'll let competitors in. And all of a sudden, you know, you as a salesperson and sales managers start to panic. Well, wow, maybe we better lower the price to give them some incentive to meet with us and close this deal. So now you're needlessly negotiating, you're lowering your price, and you don't have to. All you have to do is go through a process and ask everybody at the presentation what their thoughts are before they leave. So you have their meeting right there. And if push comes to shove and they still want to have their meeting, stand up and offer to leave. They're there. It's hard to get people together these days. So, you know, offer to leave the room. I've seen that work more times than not. Let them have their meeting, and then you're there to answer any questions that they have and follow up right then.
Well, I know it's easy enough for people like me. Even if I did not find you through the radio show, I would have found your site easy enough as an individual, you know, a partner in a small firm that Todd and I have. I'd have found you. $12.95 a month, it's a no-brainer. But are you also doing work with organizations? Are you set up so that you can also serve the kind of corporations that you served earlier in your career with the more traditional training?
Absolutely. You know, this model is absolutely made for a sales manager who has a team of salespeople and travels with them and can recognize where their skill sets are short. If you're out traveling with a salesperson, they're having a hard time handling objections, for example. You know, you can go to the website and for a lunch, you know, sit down with a salesperson or have them view handling objections and get better at it for tomorrow. Or heck, if you do it over lunch, you can get better at it this afternoon. If you have somebody who's having a hard time dealing with price, you can go and click on dealing with price and have somebody get better instantly at how to handle those things. Negotiating, I mean, the list goes on and on. Territory management, account management, I mean, just whatever salesperson or sales manager sees in a salesperson that they're lacking in. I mean, here's for the price of a lunch a month, you can get better at it.
So you're going to serve an organization with a large sales force, but you're also going to be able to, that individual will just find you online. And they just, on their own time, on their own dollar, they want to learn and get better. You can market to them too. How are you going to market and find that individual?
Well, obviously SEO, and we're doing a lot of groups. We're doing a lot of social marketing, LinkedIn, all of those necessary things that you do today to get the word out. And I talk about salespeople. The site really is made for entrepreneurs also, because an entrepreneur has a great idea, goes to market with it, has absolutely no idea how to sell it, has no idea how the concept of account management, has no idea of doing the things that you have to do. They're very energetic about it, very passionate about it, and sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't feed the bulldog. Here's a site, again, just for the price of a lunch. An entrepreneur can go and get training and become really, really good at what they're really passionate about.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. So how can our listeners get to your website, contact you? What's the easiest way to get to you?
Salesimprovementzone.com. And yeah, you know, go to the site and check it out. There's plenty of free training on there. There's free training sites, so you can pick things up. And one of the things that sets the site apart are going to be the reinforcement tips. Once you take a training session, we're going to email you 30-second to 2 to 3 minute reinforcement tips.
Oh, nice.
On a daily basis, yeah, and reinforce that. Normally, if you go to most training sessions, you get a manual that goes on a shelf or in a box someplace, never to be seen again. The reinforcement tips really, really sell.
And those are going to be video-based?
Video-based. Everything is video-based.
That's cool.
Everything is video-based. Salespeople are on the move, and nothing irks me more than to sit there and get something free training and have 20 pages of litany to sit there and read and process through.
Right.
People learn video-wise today. They're video learners. So, everything on the site is absolutely video.
How many times have you said, I'll wait for the movie? Right?
Every day.
Yeah.
Listen, can we put you on the hot seat as well? Are you willing to share a mistake that you've made at some point in your career and what you learned from it?
Well, I I've listened to the show. I am a high-velocity radio listener, and I hear this question at the end of interviews. So I'm thinking, sitting there going, gosh, I've made so many mistakes in my life. What can I share? And the one thing I'm going to share is on the management side. I mean, there's two aspects of management. You get into management, you work through an organization, you become manager, and pretty much every one of your friends within that business is going to walk up to you and say, you've changed. You've changed. And it happens to every young manager out there, and, you know, they don't know how to handle it. So wait a minute, I'm the same old, you know, person I was. Well, the fact is you have changed. Your job description has changed. Everything about you inside that company has changed, and you need to talk to your now new employees versus friends that, you're right, I have changed, and you need to change with me. That's number one. Number two, the power of getting a mentor. I was promoted into management really, really early in my age. I had, you know, that cocky attitude, ground up salesperson, became number one, got awards, all that kind of accolade that comes with a lot of hard work. And so now all of a sudden I'm a manager, got the change thing, didn't know how to handle that. No training whatsoever. And I didn't go and solicit mentors. And I think that for young managers, I think it's good for anybody in business is to have a mentor or two. One inside the business and one outside the business, just to help you with just to talk about it, just to bring things up and shoot ideas and bounce ideas off one another. And I think it's especially to have somebody outside your business, because sometimes when you're inside the business, you can't see the forest.
Point. Yeah.
You can't see the forest from the trees. So it's good to have two, one inside the business, one outside the business. You can weigh things. So find yourself mentors, take them to lunch weekly or biweekly.
Sounds like great advice, and I'll bet you Todd's available. And I can assure you he doesn't know anything about sales, so you got that outside industry perspective thing going, right?
There you go.
Yeah, I can be helpful there.
What a cool show. That was a lot of fun, huh, Todd?
Don't let it be said we don't talk about varied topics.
Yeah, no kidding. But that was a really interesting show. I want all these people back. Maybe we ought to do like a roundtable thing or something.
I think that would be a cool idea. You know, it's another tough day at the office for
us. Yeah, no kidding. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Todd Schnick, Warren Neuberger, Bob Toby, and Dr. Austin Cohen, and the entire Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.